Prajna
by disturbances. Artaha, distressed. Tapyamanaha, tormented. Anutapai, with remorse. Avitrisha, unsatiated. Shat, six. Amitraha,
whose enemies,
the five senses,
and the mind.
Alabda, not attaining. Shanti, peace. Katanchit,
by some means.
Sharana,
of shelter.
Da, O bestower. Samupetaha,
who have approached.
Fat,
your.
Pada abjam,
lotus feet.
Paramatman,
O Supreme Soul.
Abhayam,
fearless.
Ritam,
the truth.
Ashokam,
free from sorrow.
Pahi,
please protect.
Ma,
me.
Apanam,
who am confronted with dangers.
Isha,
O Lord.
So, translation. So this is Muchukunda speaking to Krishna after he's awakened and he's killed Kalyavana. And he's wondering who is this person who's so beautiful, and he realizes, oh, it must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then he has a dialogue with Krishna, and then he offers these beautiful prayers. So this is one of them. For so long I have been pained by troubles in this world and have been burning with lamentation. My six enemies are never satiated, and I can find no peace. Therefore, O giver of shelter, O Supreme Soul, please protect me. O Lord, in the midst of danger, I have by good fortune approached your lotus feet, which are the truth, and which thus make one fearless and free of sorrow. Please repeat. For so long I have been pained
by troubles
in this world,
and
I have been burning
with lamentation.
My six enemies
are never satiated,
and I can find no peace.
Therefore,
O giver of shelter,
O Supreme Soul,
please protect me.
O Lord,
in the midst of danger,
I have by good fortune
approached your lotus feet,
which are the truth,
and which thus make one
fearless
and free of sorrow.
Yeah,
there's no purport, but still I think it's nice to speak on in the verse, because there's like many verses still coming up without a purport, so.
I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Ram.
So I was unfamiliar with that story actually, so I spent a long time just reading the story of Muchukunda, the deliverance of Muchukunda. And the story is pretty simple. Muchukunda gets delivered by Krishna and offers these beautiful prayers. What happened is that Muchukunda had gotten this benediction from the demigods to be able to sleep as much as he wanted. He had helped the demigods in fighting the demons,
And after one long fight, Kartikeya asked Muchukunda, okay, you know, you've pleased us so much. Now any wish you want, I'll grant it. And Muchukunda could only think of sleeping because he was really tired. So he just said, okay, well, bless me that anyone who bothers me while I'm sleeping, I can burn to ashes. So he went into a cave and also got the blessing to be able to sleep very soundly. And then, Krishna fulfilled two things simultaneously. He wanted to kill Kalyavana and at the same time, you know, deliver, benedict, bless Muchukunda. So he arranged that when Kalyavana was running after him, he went into the cave and hid. And when Kalyavana came in and saw Muchukunda sleeping, he took Muchukunda to be Krishna and kicked him, thinking, oh, you're such a coward. And at that time, Muchukunda woke up and looked at him, and flames of fire went out of his eyes and burned Kalyavana immediately. And then Krishna appeared, and then this beautiful dialogue went on between Muchukunda and Krishna. And Krishna asked Muchukunda, any blessing you'd like, I'll give you. And Muchukunda concludes the whole chapter by saying, actually, I just want to serve you. I don't want anything material from you. I just want to serve you. Just want to engage in your devotional service. So it's a nice passage. So since, anyway, I made a little outline, with your permission, read from it. Because there's beautiful verses we can refer to and stuff, but I don't know them by heart. So thanks to modern technology, we can refer to them. So this basic theme basically is this point, that at least for this verse, that if we take shelter of Krishna, then one becomes free of fear and lamentation. That's what Muchukunda is praying. My dear Lord, I've been lamenting, burning in this fire of lamentation for so long, but now I'm approaching your lotus feet, which are the source of fearlessness and which free one from sorrow. So, logically speaking, it makes sense that if Krishna is the source of all peace and all happiness, and if we are his eternal servants, if our constitutional position is to be connected in service to Krishna, then it makes sense that if we become once again connected with Krishna, then we attain fearlessness, we attain peace, we attain happiness, since Krishna is of that nature. So it's only logical that by approaching Krishna's lotus feet, one would become fearless and one would become free of all sorts of sorrow. Because we accept the premise that anxiety and sorrow and fear are products of the material world. But in the spiritual world, there's no such thing. So therefore, logically, it follows that if we become connected to Krishna's lotus feet and become therefore sort of, you know, like a fish in water, or reinstated in the soul's natural constitution, then naturally sorrow and fear become, you know, absent, right? So these verses I talked about, there are a few came to mind, there's so many, of course, substantiating this theme of taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and stuff, but a few came to mind. So to refresh our memory and relish to a certain degree these beautiful verses, I thought of a few. There's one which is from a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the famous song Anadi Karma Phale. And that kind of substantiates this point of lamenting that, oh God, I've been tormented by desires for so long, but now I'm finally, you know, coming at your lotus feet. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I have fallen into the ocean of material existence as a result of my selfish activities, which are without beginning. This word anadi means without beginning. and I see no means of deliverance from this great ocean of nations. Day and night my heart burns from the poison of these worldly activities, and on account of this my mind never finds any satisfaction or happiness. So this is similar to Muchukunda's prayer. He's saying, right, for so long I've been pained by troubles in this world and have been burning with lamentation. So we see, like, there's these beautiful prayers by the great devotees in our line that are similar. They feel the same sort of lamentation. Or like this beautiful, what's that poem by Govinda Das? Abhaya Charanarajinda Bhajahure Mana Shinandana. And in that, I think it's in that poem, right? He says that I've wasted my life. And the same theme can be found in all these prayers. Another one, which is famous, from Narottam Das Thakur. He says, day and night my heart burns from the fire of the poison of worldliness, and I have not taken the means to relieve it. And we know what the means is in that song specifically. It's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. There's another beautiful verse which Prabhupada quotes often, which comes from Rupa Goswami, which is quoted in Nectar of Devotion, which talks about these lusty desires that are unsatiated, never satisfied. And Muchukunda here is saying the same thing. My six enemies are never satiated, and I can find no peace. So there's this famous verse where Rupa Goswami talks about these lusty desires and how I've served them so much and never have they, you know, given me any relief. They're never satisfied, even though I've been so loyal to them and I've served them so well. So therefore now, because of the awakening of some spiritual intelligence, I'm giving these up and I'm taking shelter at your lotus feet. Kamadinam katina katida pallita durdineshas Teisham jatam maina karuna natrapa nupashanti Utsrai jatam atayadupate sampratam labda buddhis Tvam ayatasharanam abhayam mam niyukshat madasye. O my Lord, there is no limit to the unwanted orders of lusty desires. Although I have rendered these desires so much service, they have not shown any mercy to me. I have not been ashamed to serve them, nor have I even desired to give them up. O my Lord, O head of the Yadu dynasty, recently, however, my intelligence has been awakened, and now I am giving them up. Due to transcendental intelligence, I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these desires, and I now come to you to surrender myself at your fearless lotus feet. Kindly engage me in your personal service and save me. Beautiful, isn't it? Then there's the famous Ayinanda Dhanujakinkaram Paditam Mangushame Bhavamudo Kripayatava Pada Pankajastita Dulisadesham Chintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, and your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So these are just a few beautiful prayers like that of devotees who come to this realization that, okay, I've had enough of trying to satisfy my lusty desires. Now I'm just going to serve you, my Lord, and take shelter of your lotus feet. For example, there's Bilva Mangal Thakur. Right, he was so addicted to his prostitute friend, and one day she preached to him really heavily, and then it just went tilt in his mind, bingo, ding, and he realized, yes, right, if I had the same determination that I have to chase after you, to be with you, if I had that for Krishna, I'd be a great devotee. So therefore, yes, I'll go to Vrindavan. So he goes to take shelter of Krishna and Vrindavan. And then, you know, on the way, gets again allured and then plucks out his eyes. Another example is Yamunacharya. was a great king who had so much material opulence, enjoyed so much his senses, and then, you know, comes to this mature realization and now enough. Yadavadi mama jeta krishna padarvinde navanavarasadam turam tumasi. Now that I've experienced a higher transcendental mellow in serving your lotus feet, my Lord, you know, whenever I think of sense gratification, I spit at the thought. So I'm not going to go for it anymore. And we can speak for ourselves, right? We've all kind of come to this realization. That's why we join ISKCON. We took up the process of Krishna consciousness because we came in contact with devotees, heard this transcendental philosophy, had our transcendental intelligence awakened, and as a result, we said, okay, no, I'm not going to indulge in sense gratification anymore. I'm going to try my best to engage my senses in Krishna service instead of in my own, you know, selfish material desires. Right? So that's, you know, beautiful. Well said and all that, but then, you know, there comes a practical application and the reality of our life. And I think, you know, there's a few verses that deal with that particular point, and I'll deal with that in a few short minutes. But what's interesting is that I'll read to you what Krishna says to Muchukunda here. He tells him, and this is from the Krishna book, and this is just to kind of bring this point further, that Krishna is willing to fulfill all our desires. He says, "My dear king, now you may ask for me any benediction you wish, and I am prepared to fulfill your desire. It is my eternal principle that anyone who comes under my shelter must have all his desires fulfilled by my grace." So Krishna tells him that anything you want, you can have it. But Muchukunda, being an intelligent devotee, says, "Nah, you know, don't tempt me. I know what is best. I just want to serve you." Right? And this echoes another reference from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Krishna speaks about himself, and he says, "You know, I'm not a fool. I'm not going to give someone something that's not good for his spiritual life." So, this is in the Madhya Lila 22:39. Krishna says, "If one engages in my transcendental loving service, but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Indeed, he is just like a person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment." So on the one side, you have the Lord saying, you know, I want the spiritual benefit of my devotee. I'm not going to give him something, or give her something that will be bad for his spiritual life. But then you have, on the other side, the pure devotee who doesn't ask for these things in the first place. So we're kind of stuck, at least speaking from my, you know, my perspective, we're kind of stuck in between those two poles, you know. Because, you know, I understand, okay, ideally this is it, pure devotional service. And yet, you know, so many material desires are there. So what to do, you know? What to do, how to deal with it. Well, there's Krishna himself gives the solution in the 11th canto. And this is a verse which is kind of popular. I'll read that to you. This is Krishna speaking, and he says in the 20th chapter, "Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. So the interesting point here is, you know, even though the devotee knows that, you know, material desires are not going to lead to happiness, etc., etc., still, because he's, you know, unable to renounce it, he should remain happy, Krishna says. Just remain happy and continue serving me. Bhurijan Prabhu, though, he mentioned not too long ago in Vrindavan, when I was in one of his classes, that the acharyas mentioned that this verse actually does not justify gross sense gratification. And someone may think, oh, well, here, there's a justification for having, you know, fall downs on sort of on the gross platform. But according to Bhurijan Prabhu, having quoted or having read the commentaries by maybe Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur or other acharyas, this refers to more like it's on a subtle platform, even. It's a really high standard. But the mood is there that, okay, I have this material desire, I know it's bad for me, but I'm a beginner in devotional service, so let me just not get depressed about them, let me just continue rendering my service. You know, continuing to be stuck, to try to stick my head at Krishna's lotus feet and keep it there, stuck, without it being moved away by my material desires. And if they go away, then again, you know, getting the determination, put our head back at Krishna's lotus feet and stay there. One final aspect that I thought about is this point of taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. What is it actually? What does it mean? In one very important way, taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet means to take shelter of Krishna's devotees. To take shelter of Krishna's devotees' instructions. Therefore, there's this other beautiful verse which talks about saffron particles that go along in the fragrance emanating from Krishna's lotus feet. The glorifications of Krishna's lotus feet contain these saffron particles, and these saffron particles are caught by the devotees, and they relish. So for us, it means to remain in the association of devotees so that we can constantly hear these narrations of Krishna, these transcendental subjects, this transcendental sound vibration. By being in touch with this transcendental sound vibration emanating from the lotus mouth of the devotees, we stay connected to Krishna's lotus feet. So therefore, for us, you know, the most important thing in our life is our hearing and chanting. But that's how we stay connected to Krishna's lotus feet. So our own rounds, our chanting of our rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's of prime importance, obviously. Everything is there, you know. Our rounds is the most important thing. Just like this morning, I forget his name. What's the name of our head pujari? Or your head pujari? What is it?
Krishna Gaja.
Krishna Gaja. So he asked me, so how are you doing? And I said, well, I have no taste for the holy name. And then I read from the songbook. There's that beautiful kirtan. What is it called? Aruna Kirtan? That when the sun rose, Lord Chaitanya awoke and taking all his associates with him, went through the towns of Nadia, telling everyone, you know, fill your mouths with the names of Madhava and Hari. You have achieved this rare human form of life. Don't you care for it? If you don't worship the darling of Mother Yashoda, now great sorrow awaits you at the time of death. You should understand this essential fact. Life is temporary and filled with various kinds of miseries. Take shelter, therefore, of the holy name as your sole occupation. There is, except for the holy name, there's nothing in all the fortune world. So I mentioned to them, yeah, you know, just remember, there's nothing in the fortune world except the holy name. And very intelligently he said, yeah, but he replied, yes, but you know, for me, You know, there's everything in the 14 world except the holy name. So that's our plight, you know, that's our plight. But nevertheless, we shouldn't have the intelligence to really make it a point to chant our rounds really attentively, because that's really all we have. Everything else is so temporary, so fleeting, and we really can't control much. But this is the special mercy of Krishna upon us, that we can take shelter of his lotus feet through the chanting of his holy name every day. And in order for us to have that strength, that determination to keep chanting attentively with devotion, it really helps, it's imperative to hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, along with the chanting comes the attentive hearing. Or we could even say, not along with, but before the chanting comes the attentive hearing. Therefore, we all have experience that if we take shelter of reading the Bhagavatam for an hour or two, then lo and behold, the next morning we chant really good rounds, right? Or that same evening, or whatever, just after. Because by hearing from Prabhupada, hearing from devotees, the message of Prabhupada, then we get that enthusiasm. We get that strength to chant more attentively. That enthusiasm. And according to the first canto of the Bhagavatam, that enthusiasm to hear is the only qualification, really, that's required for success in spiritual life. So it's kind of like something that feeds itself. You hear very attentively, and then that gives you the enthusiasm to chant very attentively. And in this way, it keeps going on and on and on. And that's how we remain at the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, by staying in the association of devotees and keeping our ears open for this transcendental sound vibration, which purifies us and gradually, you know, brings us to the level of pure devotional service, of awakening our original Krishna consciousness, of becoming devotees. And at that time, there's no question of leaving Krishna's lotus feet. But until that point, we have to make that effort. We have to make that effort to stay connected. Therefore, Prabhupada stressed so much, you know, whatever happens, don't ever leave ISKCON. Don't ever leave the association of the devotees. Therefore, he mentions in the CC, anyone who thinks he can make spiritual advancement outside of the association of the devotees is living a great hallucination. The exact words of Prabhupada. So it's simple. We stay in the association, we keep hearing and chanting, and this way we remain at the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. That's all I can think of. Does anyone have any questions or comments? A little early, huh? Yes.
Sometimes there's still wavering. You know everything, you understand everything. Still, your chanting is not perfect all the time. So what is the reason of that?
There's a technical word for it in the Madhurya Kadambini by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. I don't know the name. It's unsteadiness. So in the beginning stages, one day you're very enthusiastic, the day you're not at all. So the reason for this is that we haven't reached yet the platform of nishtha, of steadiness in our service. And until that platform is attained, you know, there's wavering.
How to get
nishtha? How to?
Get nishtha.
To continue. The way to get that is just to continue, day after day after day after day. And nitya siddha krishna prema sadhya kavino shravanadi shuddha chite kare udoy. By the gradual hearing and chanting every day, and rendering a practical devotional service, then gradually these stages are attained by the mercy of Krishna as a natural course. We just have to be patient and determined and continue with the process. There's no shortcut. It's just a steady, gradual process, as Prabhupada calls it. Right?
having said the word first thing, the association of devotees, sometimes it's very hard because of our false ego. As you said, people want to practice in isolation. Is that the main catch? That they think that sound of pride, they think that they themselves can do this.
I didn't catch that last part.
No, you're saying to stay in association of devotees. It seems that they stay in association of devotees, the senior devotees, the junior devotees, and they listen to the senior devotees. And they have to work on regularly, listen to the senior devotees. That's not easy. That's not easy. So? So my point is, is that the reason why people want to go in isolation and practice?
Because they don't want to listen to other devotees?
Yeah, is that the main reason?
I guess so. Envy, intolerance? Or what to do? And there's no alternative. Anything else?
I think maybe you mentioned is that when the relationships between the devotees are very sweet, and especially when the senior devotees are very affectionate to the junior devotees, it actually doesn't become very difficult for the community. You see, like in temples like Chalpa, exemplary temples. And when the devotees are sweetly dealing with each other, you don't feel that it is such a struggle to be with devotees. That's just the reverse. You actually feel like you want to. So maybe
comment on that? I don't know. No, was I not? I was in Durban, Mauritius. Yeah, but I was in Bombay for 11 hours. Srila Vaishnava dealings is the most, we hear it's the most important consideration. If a Prabhupada stress, like the thing that comes to mind when I just read it recently, you know, Prabhupada stress, you should all address each other as Prabhu. Prabhu means master. So, yeah, the respectful dealings among devotees is essential. If that's not there, then Krishna's not pleased. And then there's something lacking in the community. And then offenses are committed. And Vaishnava Aparad is the thing for being kicked out of the association of the devotees. And it's the main thing for fall down, for leaving Krishna consciousness. It's offending devotees. We offend devotees, and Krishna said, okay, well, sorry, sir. Here's the exit right there. Just go out for a few years or a few months or a few lifetimes, and then you can come back when you've been beaten by Maya a little more. So we should always be very careful about committing offenses to devotees. We have to deal very, very carefully with devotees. And that is essential. I think as the years go by, if I'm not wrong, the body of ISKCON generally is just becoming more and more aware of that. And the devotees in general are just putting more emphasis on that and realizing that this is really the crux, or a very important crux of the matter. Because we learn from past mistakes, and we see when devotees leave, and what were the causes? Oh, well, it just so happened that he was extremely arrogant to his godbrothers, for example. But we hear that of some senior disciples of Prabhupada who may have left the movement and may have been, quite offensive to their godbrothers. It's not an accident. So we, if we have some intelligence, we're receiving some mercy, we can take advantage of learning from someone else's mistakes, unfortunately, or fortunately for us, and being very careful in dealing with the devotees. Because the result of the service itself is much less important than how we deal with devotees. Because the result of the service comes from Krishna anyway. Right? the result of how many books we sell, or the result of how much lakshmi comes in, or the result of anything we undertake is ultimately given by Krishna. So if in the process of attaining that result we burn out Krishna's devotees, then Krishna is not going to be happy. Rather, Krishna is more pleased when we are more, you know, attentive to the dealings among devotees than the result. And when that's there, then Krishna will give the result. Mm-hmm. And you heard of Prabhu?
Mm-hmm. I just want to think that in the late 70s we had a school of long books, but the end result was that half the country hated us. So we got the books now, but if you went out and looked at the news, you would imagine that people would. If they saw you, they'd walk on the outside of the street, or they'd spit at you, or they'd get a negative. So we actually had to stop selling books on the street, and revert to free book distribution just to, you know, be able to give them. So you know, the end result is not only to make good relations with the ladies, but good relations with the people. That's still not bad. This enhances the preaching. It's interesting, Lord Bhakta spent some time in the UK. When he left Australia, the attitude towards the diversity was very poor, and we will not put all this together. But he came back quite a few years later, and he discovered that actually, if you told people that you were a member of the Hare Krishna, then people were very respectful to you. And would listen to you and acknowledge your achievements. So there's a lot to say about making friends with people.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially for the ladies. But I mean, just as, you know, there's a tendency to be they're all the karmis and we're the ladies.
Yes, sir.
What you said yesterday evening was very important. To be friendly to everyone.
Yeah, that is the essence of Bhagavad Gita.
Everyone, including animals, beasts, anything.
He who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contamination of furtive activity and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. On that note, shall we end? Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Grantra Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.